Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor. We are pleased to be joined by Eric Dickerson. And Eric, being with you in the sidelines on Sunday in the Seahawks game against the Rams, you were down there. I know you were cold, but you were like a proud father watching your Rams as they just had a three-hour celebration.
Well, first of all, yes, John, you saw I was cold. My teeth were chattering. So I told you before, I didn't got soft now. So the cold weather's not for me. But it was an impressive win by the Rams on the road in Seattle. And I know Seattle is beat up, but, you know, I always say, hey, that's football. You know, you dealt the hand, you have to play the hand. So the Rams did a very good job of playing a good Seattle football team. The thing I was most impressed with was the defensive line, how they were firing off and really getting to Russell Wilson, staying in the lane and not letting him have any place to run. It was a good win. And like I said, anytime you can beat Seattle in Seattle, it's a good day. And I was really pleased the way they ran Todd Gurley. I mean, you know, finally, I mean, I think the first game they played at home, he ran the ball 13 times, and that's frustrating for a running back, especially for him and for me as a former player watching. But, you know, he had a great game on Sunday also.
Yeah. How good is Gurley? Where do you think he's going to be in the hierarchy of running backs? I know he made the Pro Bowl this week, which is earned. I know, in fact, he's probably in consideration for the MVP right now.
You know, you have no idea how good a guy can be until maybe in like his third, fourth year sometimes, and the numbers don't lie. You know, that's it. You know, last year it was frustrating because I felt like I was the guy that was pleading his case for him, because I've been in that situation where you're getting hit in the backfield, you have no place to run, the offense is just nil, and it's hard for a guy to not say anything. I mean, I told him, I said, I'll be your voice. I'll be your mouthpiece, because I got tired of people saying, oh, man, he's a bust. I'm like, he's not a bust. I said, he's nowhere to run. And it was just good to see him, you know, play like he's playing this year. You know, see him in on third downs. It was frustrating last year to see him come out. He's supposed to be your best player, you know, on the field. He's on the sidelines on third downs, and, you know, how he's, you know, big into the passing game right now. And, you know, I got to say, Sean McVay has done a fantastic job with coaching this football team and doing what he has to do and getting the max out of the players that he has. I think one of the things that was funny to me when he got the job, and people kept saying he's 31 years old. So I just asked him, I said, is it a handbook someplace that says you have to be 50 or 60 years old to be a head coach, or 40? I mean, if it says, show me the handbook. And they said, no. I said, well, it's all about winning. That's what it comes down to. And right now, that's what Sean McVay and the Rams and Todd Gurley and Jared Goff is having a great year. And, you know, if you're a Ram fan, you're pretty proud right now.
I would imagine. And again, with all the frustration that the Rams have had, and you can just see for 3 hours, they were celebrating so much because there's been such a long time that this franchise has been able to have this type of success, make the playoffs, and have this kind of a nice run to get into the playoffs with what is a very talented team.
Well, it's been 14 years since the Rams had a winning season. I mean, people go back and say, well, they were 8-8. I said, look, if you're 8-8, that's losing to me. If you're satisfied with 8-8, you got the losing mentality. And it has been such a long time since the Rams have been relevant, since they've been talked about, you know, in primetime football and being a good football team since, you know, the years they won the Super Bowl back in the early 2000s. And so, you know, for them, and I think especially for the city of L.A. and the fans of L.A., I mean, you know, we have some of the best fans in Los Angeles. I mean, you know, people say, you know, they're fair-weather fans, but, I mean, most fans are kind of fair-weather. They're not that fair-weather. You want to see your team win. And that was one of my ballot calls last year, is that I want to see my team win like everyone else. It's frustrating to go to a game and your team lose, and lose in a manner like, wow, we didn't have a chance to win that game. And this year, I think that's so exciting about the Los Angeles Rams is that they've been in every game. You know, it's not been a game they've, say, blown out from the beginning. They had no chance. Every game they've been in, the ones they've lost, in a sense, they gave those games away. But that's football. You know, it happens. But, you know, I think this team has something to be proud of so far this year.
Take us back to last year, because, I mean, I know that you were trying the best you can to try to get things positive for the team. And, of course, it kind of clashed with Jeff Fisher. You saw the negativity all around. Take us back to where this team and you were last year and how it's changed in the last season.
Well, first of all, I was excited to have the team back in Los Angeles. You know, I was really excited. I think everybody was. It showed the first football game, the first preseason game, when you had 90,000 fans out there while watching a preseason game. And, you know, the preseason wound up, I think we were 3-2, 3-1, or I don't know, 2-2 or something like that in the preseason. But, you know, even watching in the preseason, I knew that we had a good defense, but our offense just wasn't there. I saw it in the preseason, and I'm like, man. And I asked a couple of guys, you know, are y'all going to do different things in the regular season? So, yeah, we have this offense we're running. And from the first football game, John, I saw it. I'm like, this is not good. It looks like high school offense. I mean, it came to a point where, like, by the third game of the season, you knew what the plays were going to be. It was going to be a dive left or a dive right or a check down over the middle or 5 yard out. Those were pretty much it. And I think for Ram fans, it was frustrating. I mean, even if you won, we won game. We were 3-1 at one point. And I came out and I said, look, this is not a real 3-1 team. I said, I hate to say it, but you're going to see the collapses coming because the defense could not keep doing what they're doing every week. And that's why we were 3-1 at that point, because of our defense. And finally, you know, it just happened. And I was just, you know, I mean, like any former player or fan, like I said, want my team to do the best they can and win football games. I just started saying what I saw. You know, as a player, you know, what I saw, and I reported it, you know, on air, you know, doing our radio show. And it got to the point where some comments were made by the Rams, you know, coaching staff and front office, you know, they didn't like what I was saying. And, you know, it got back, and basically Jeff Fisher kind of called me out on it. You know, he didn't call me out on it, since he did, but he didn't. I went to an event, the groundbreaking ceremony, and I asked for some sideline passes for some friends of mine. And I didn't need the passes. Let me make that perfectly clear. I didn't need them. I just wanted to see could I get them, because I can go through the Hall of Fame and get sideline passes for any game in the National Football League. But I just wanted to see what was going to be said, because, you know, I want to, you know, they fill it out. Because, you know, everybody, I say, is it a problem? Oh, no, it's no problem. It's no problem. But sure enough, when I asked, I said, well, Eric, you know, we're going to have to talk to the coach or the GM just to see, you know, what's going on. You know, or something. I said, for what? Some of the stuff you said about the team. I said, what did I say about the team is wrong? Well, you're criticizing the team. I said, hey, man. I said, we're not playing good football. We're losing. Well, okay. I said, well, I tell you what. I just have somebody call me. So he said that the general manager, Les Snead, or either Jeff Fisher was going to call me. And I was on the phone with my best friend. We went to college together. I mean, this is my fullback in college. I've been knowing him since we were 18, Charles Drake. We were talking. And I told him what happened. And he said, man, really, Dick? I said, yep. I said, somebody's going to call me. Sure enough, I'm on the phone. I see a 314 number pop up. I said, Drayton, let me call you back. He said, man, I wish I could hear this call, because he knows my personality. He knows how I am. So he said, I said, okay, man, I said, I'll call you back. So sure enough, it was Jeff. He said, Eric, it's Jeff Fisher. I said, how's it going, Jeff? He said, it's going good. He said, man, I'm going to get right at this. He said, I'm just going to let you know that you're not going to be talking about my team. You're not going to be talking about my coaches and expect anything from the team. As long as I'm head coach, we're not doing anything for you. We're not supporting anything you do. And you make my coaches feel uncomfortable, and you make the players feel uncomfortable when you're on the sidelines. So you're going to come to the game, go in the stands, that's fine. But you're not coming on the field. And I just want to let you know, as long as I'm head coach here, it's not going to happen. I said it twice. You know, we're not doing anything. We're not supporting you in anything. So blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay. I said, all right. I said, well, you know what, Jeff? I said, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate you calling me. I said, because I've heard the grumbling. And he said, okay, Eric. And he assumed he was going to hang up. I could tell. Okay, well, I'll talk to you. I said, no. I said, hold up. I said, it's my turn now. He said, okay. I said, first of all, I said, man, I played for the Los Angeles Rams. You didn't play for the Rams. I said, F what the Rams think. I said, man, I want my football team to win like everybody else's football team. I said, Jeff, I said, you never played for this football team. I said, I wore that uniform. I said, I was proud to wear that uniform. I said, that's why I wear the yellow jacket. I said, so I can say things. I said, first of all, I want you to understand, I'm always a player first. I said, this media comes second. I'm a player first. I'm for the players. I said, but if I see something that's not going right on the field, I'm going to say it. I said, I would be hypocritical to say, oh, man, they're looking great. Did you see how they punt the ball? People would laugh at me. I said, that's not me. I said, Jeff, to this day, I still remember the worst football game that I played. And the reporters called me and said, I lost the game. I said, you know what? I felt like I lost the game, too. I felt like I hurt my football team. We played the Washington Redskins. I had 3 fumbles, and Darrell Green caught me from the back. I said, that was just a frustrating day for me. I said, I had no problem with it. I said, it's not a problem. I said, if you can't talk about the players, I said, then what? I said, that's part of the sport. He said, then force your coaches go. I said, it's my opinion. I said, I don't think Chris Winkie is the guy to coach our number one pick. I said, I'll ask you this. What is his resume? Who has he coached in the past that has done very well in the National Football League? I said, that's all I asked you. He couldn't answer that question. Then he says, Eric, you know what, man? That's not what we want. We want you to be a part of the team. You know, we want you to come on the sidelines. You know, we just had Britney Spears on the sideline. In my mind, I'm like, I don't give a damn about no Britney Spears. I said, man, look, Jeff, I want to win. I said, our fans want to win. That's what we want. Our fans deserve winning. I said, this is Los Angeles. This is not St. Louis. So, you know, we said, I said, Jeff, I said, you know what, man, no problem. I said, let me tell you something. I said, Jeff, Eddie George said, you're a nice guy. I said, I don't really know you. You really don't know me. I said, well, I'll say this. You're never going to call me and talk to me like this. I said, so you don't ever have to worry about me seeing you on the sidelines. I don't make the coaches feel uncomfortable. I said, most definitely, I don't ever want to make the players feel uncomfortable. I said, so you'll never see me at another Ram event as long as you're head coach. He said, okay, Eric. I said, okay, man, fine. And that's how the conversation went. And I didn't say anything, John, for like 2 weeks. And, you know, because I didn't want to. I mean, I wasn't trying to start any trouble. But on our radio show, Fred Rogan brought it up to me. I said something about the team not winning. They lost again. And he said, man, Eric, you know, the Rams going to get you. They're going to be after you. I said, man, I said, Fred, I'm tired of hearing that. I said, man, I said, look, what have I done? I said, I'm just telling what I see. I said, I get a call from someone at the Rams to tell me that they don't want me on the field. And that's when it came out. I didn't say who. And then that's when kind of everything kind of unfolded. And then Jeff said he called me. And that was it. And so it kind of got ugly from that point on.
So now what happens when you get together with Sean McVay? What did you see, and what do you see on the field of what he's able to do? Because this is one of the most creative young coaches I think I've ever been around.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. You said it. He is just creative. You know, one thing I like about Sean McVay is that he does not worry about the defense. He's like everybody. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Stay in your lane. He stays in his lane. I know offense. That's what I know. That's why I hired Wade Phillips. I hired Wade Phillips to run our defense. I have our special teams coach. That's why he runs our special teams, because they're one of the best in the league. And he do offense. It was one game. I forgot which game it was. It was a Cowboy game. I saw him sitting on the cooler, you know, talking with the offense, and the defense was up. He wasn't even worried about what was going with the defense. I'm like, now, see, that's how you do it. You let these guys do what they do. And for his offensive-minded guy, I mean, it's just a real creative offense. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I think we played the Arizona Cardinals, and my good friend Roy Green, he called me, you know, he said, we're going to beat y'all. I said, we're going to kill y'all, Roy, just like we did in London. So he called me after the game. He said, Eric, man, that offense y'all got is, she said, something else. She said, they run a play. I think it was like a wheel. It was an outside, inside wheel route with the tight end. Everyone started right. The tight end spun back inside. He said, I've never seen a play like that. He said, I've got to tell you, man, this guy is, he says he's got a great offensive mind. I said, doesn't he? And I think for the team, the thing is that makes it so cool is that he's a young coach. But when you talk to these players really respect him. And that's what it comes down to. You know, some coaches, you don't have to like me, but you respect me. And they respect him. They like him. He's a player's coach. You know, he's one of the guys. You can see on the sideline, he's one of their guys. And that's what makes, I think that's what makes it work.
He really is good. So now, when you look at this team, I mean, how far do you think he can go? Because, I mean, the talent on defense, I mean, Aaron Donald is such a unique player. I mean, one of the best in this era. How far do you think they can go?
I mean, I think they can go a long way. I mean, I don't want to put a Super Bowl on them, but they have the potential. I mean, it reminds me of the year the Rams were 4-12 in St. Louis. And the next year, I think they went 13-3 and won the Super Bowl. No one saw it coming. And it will be the same thing here. No one sees the Rams coming. I mean, no one is really like, okay, they're good. Or they'll say, they played nobody. Or, they beat them, but they didn't have this. Or, they beat the Seahawks, but they didn't have all their players. You know, this team does not worry about that. This is a very talented football team. Aaron Donald is the best defensive lineman in football. That game Sunday, man, it was like, I said to one guy, I said, boy, even in my prime, I don't think I'd want to be out there right now where that defensive line is coming. I mean, they were rushing. And this football team is deep. They have a lot of talent. They have a lot of talent on offense, on defense. They have fun playing together. It reminds me of the teams I played with the Rams. You can tell the guys really like each other. They all get along. And that's important on a team. It's no egos anywhere. They just want to win. Because when you haven't won for a long time, and all of a sudden you get a taste of it, it gets contagious. And you know, the people at the Rams front office, you know, I think we were 6-2 or something like that. And I said, hey, I like this winning thing. And they said, yeah, we like this. I even saw Stan Kroenke in London. And he walked up to me, how you doing? I said, I'm good, Stan. I said, this winning thing is contagious, isn't it? He started smiling. He said, yeah, I like this. I'm like, yeah, everyone likes it. When you start winning, everyone loves you.
That's really good stuff. Now, let's go big picture now. Take a look. How are the running backs of today different from when you played? What do you see different as far as the schemes and how they're used and the type of running backs that are out there?
Well, you know, backs are backs. You know, they really are. One thing I don't like that two-back system thing. That's just never been me. I mean, but, you know, some teams, that works for their football team because, you know, a lot of offenses are pass-orientated, you know, coming out the backfield, throwing the ball to the backs. That's great. You know, I did that my rookie season, but after that, we never did it again because I didn't have that kind of quarterback. But I think that's great to come out the backfield and catch the ball. I would like what Todd does, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Shady McCoy down in Buffalo. I think that's great, but the thing is that you don't see where teams like each week committed to the run. I mean, committed to the run. You know, in our era, I can say if you were a run-oriented football team or you knew a team couldn't stop the run, you were going to run the ball down their throat every week. We played the Bears in the NFC Championship game that year, and they beat us. The next year, we played them on Monday Night Football in Chicago. I think it was in December. It was one of those cold games. We won the game. I think I carried the ball, you know, 28 to 30 times against a very good Bears defense. I had over 120 yards. We're going to New Orleans from there. We didn't even go home. We went from Chicago to New Orleans. And on the flight over, John Robinson asked me, he said, Eric, I got a question for you. I said, yeah. He said, can you do it again? I said, I knew what he was saying. I said, what? He said, can you carry it maybe 30 again? I said, I think I can carry it. I said, all I need is just, you know, I don't have to practice the whole week, but I can just do run drill, you know, most of the time. He said, we can do that. I said, okay. So you don't see that. You don't see that anymore, John. You don't see a team that's really committed to running the football. I mean, really running the football. I mean, you saw it with Dallas quite a bit last year and made me remind me of the old days of, you know, you run the football and the run sets up everything. But, you know, the backs of the backs, you know, I'm always kind of, I got a soft spot. I like big backs. I like a guy over 6 foot tall, you know, a guy that can really wear down a defense. To me, a 5'10", 5'11 guy, he's not going to wear a defense down. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. Some guys can, but, you know, those big guys, you know, they're like a Zeke is a thick guy. Todd is a bigger guy. Le'Veon's a bigger guy. But you don't see the commitment to run the football like you did back in the 80s and the 90s.
No, that's a strange part because now you go into each season. I mean, you don't have 320 carry guys. I mean, so nobody's averaging. Maybe have one guy a year that may get 20 carries a game. And then you may only have like about a dozen players that will end up with 1,000 yards.
I know. It was funny when I look back, I think it was in 1986, 84, 85, 86, something like that. I was looking at all the backs, and it was like, man, it was back. Everybody from first to like 10, every guy had 1,000 yards. Like, I think I had 1,800, and one guy had like 1,500 or 1,600, and it was 14, another 14, and 15. It was 1,000 yards to me. Then you get 1,000 yards. I mean, that's 50 yards a game. I mean, I like when guys get to 1,400, to 1,500, to 1,600. When you get over that 1,500 mark, then you're doing something to me. When you get 1,100, 12, that's cool. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, but the offenses are different. So it's a different era. You know, the guy may have 90 catches, you know, or 80 catches receiving the ball. And then he has, you know, 200 rushes. So it's different. It's really not the same.
No, it really isn't. And, of course, probably it's not going to change. Although, I'll tell you what, though. In the last couple of years, there's been a great group of running backs that have come into this league, you know, from Todd Gurley to Ezekiel Elliott. It's a resurgence, even though they're not getting the ball as much as you guys did.
No, they're not. And one thing is that, you know, people try to say the running back is dead. It's a dead. It's never a dead. You need that back. You need a running back. Some teams, like the Patriots, you know, they do it throwing the football. But, you know, you have a team like the Steelers, I think, and like us, the Rams, the Cowboys, even the Bills with McCoy. I mean, you want to run the football. You know, you do. I mean, even like the Eagles now. The Eagles are always pass heavy. But now, you know, this year, they balanced it out. You know, run the football. I mean, it makes everything that much better when you can run the football, when you don't solely rely on the pass. You saw Sunday. You saw that Seahawks game. When you can't run the football, you see what can happen if you go against a good defense. With Russell Wilson, it's like, okay, they cannot run the football. They're gonna run a few draws here and there, but we're gonna lock down. Everybody's gonna stay in their lane, and we're gonna close him in. And that's what happens. If you come too one-dimensional, I don't care if it's running or passing. If you come too one-dimensional, you know, it's not a good thing. You have to be diversified. You try to have a good mix of both run and pass. I'm gonna tell you one thing I don't like. You know, and it's not doing it with running games. You know, I'm an offensive player, but I still believe that football is football. And I see some of these fines, some of these guys that get suspended for these hits. Like I saw the hit that Juju Schuster put on the boy from Cincinnati.
You know, yeah, it's like Vontaze Burfict, right?
Yeah, Burfict. He hit Burfict. I thought that was a clean hit, and I did. That was a clean hit. Now standing over him, fine, throw a flag. But you know, even the hit they put on Antonio Brown in the end zone. Those are clean hits. I mean, and I'm an offensive player. Look, I'm like this here. If you knock me out and hit me clean, not hit me dirty, I have no problem with it. Because you know what? That's football. That's what you signed up for, especially. You know the risk now. But we didn't know the risk back in those days. But you know what the risk is. This is what you do, and this is football. I just feel like, you know, when I listen to the game and watch the game, it's so disheartening to hear the announcers talking about, you know, it's a bad look for football and it's not how you play football. That is damn well how you play football. You go out and you hit and you run over guys, you know. You stiff arm. You lower your head. I mean, I'm not saying you try to hit a guy with the crown of your helmet anymore, because I always thought that was dangerous, but I'm just for, look, let football be football. You can't have all these rules and keep the game the way the game is. It's just not going to work. I know that's off the chart, but I just have a problem with that. And I'm an offensive player. I'm a defense. I mean, I feel like if they make a good hit, hey, it's a good hit.
Hey, Eric, it's great catching up with you. It was great being on the sidelines with you. You had a great time. It looks like you're having a great time right now. Congratulations.
John, thank you, man. Good seeing you. And I hope next time I see you, I'm a little bit warmer.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Well, let's put it this way. There's some home games that are coming up, so hope to see you on the sidelines for those.
I'll be in the sidelines in L.A., hopefully.
Okay. And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.